Your Bible, if you would please, this morning turn to the Gospel of Luke, in chapter number 2. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. We're going to be looking, of course, at the Christmas story, or if you will, the birth of Jesus for just a few moments this morning. I realize that certainly it's a busy time and people are running here and people are running there and so much to do. And of course, be back in service tonight, Lord willing. And I think you'll enjoy the play tonight if you can come and be a part of that. But this morning, I just felt that God impressed upon my heart these particular verses of Scripture as we do think about and celebrate the birth of our Savior. And it's not a new thought. It's something that probably you've heard many times before. But I want us to consider today from chapter number 2. I'm just going to read the first 7 verses. You'll be able to hear the rest of these verses again in the service tonight, Lord willing, or part of them as far as the Christmas story is concerned. But I had this thought in mind. It's simply this: have you made room for Jesus? Have you made room for Jesus? Is all that's going on, have you and I made room for Jesus, for the Savior? As we celebrate and we run here and there and do all the things that certainly we do to celebrate His birth, I wonder today, have we truly made room for Him in our own hearts and in our own lives? So I want you to consider that today as we read the text and give you just a few brief thoughts that the Lord's placed upon our heart for this hour. If you find your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand, give you just a moment to stretch your legs this morning. But I love certainly the birth of Christ. And as you read about it, certainly in the Gospel of Matthew, you'll read, of course, Matthew gives us an account, and then Luke also gives us an account of the birth of the Lord Jesus. You can go back to the book of Isaiah and look at the prophecy of His birth, then come to the New Testament and see it unfold before us in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because, now here again is where we're going to draw our text from, because there was no room for them in the inn. May the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in Your presence once again today to thank You again, Father, for another opportunity for health and strength, and again for this opportunity and privilege to be back in Your house today. Thank You again for this good number. Thank You for the teaching of the Word of God. Thank You for the wonderful singing. Lord, all that You've already done, Lord, in our midst this morning, we just want to thank You and we want to praise You. Lord, we want to thank You for this special season. Once again, as we celebrate Your birth, Your coming to this world, Father, to be the Savior for all of mankind. Lord, thank You for the Scripture that we've read this morning, and I pray now, God, is Your servant, that, Father, You would touch me and anoint me. God, I cannot do what needs to be done here today. I cannot say what needs to be said, Father, without Your touch and without Your help. So I pray that, God, You'd anoint me afresh and anew. God, I pray You'd help each of us today to consider, have we made room for the Savior? I pray this morning, God, if for some among us, and God, they've never called upon You for a salvation, I pray today would be the good day, Lord, they would step out by faith and receive the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe some is cold and different. Maybe some things has happened in their heart and their life, and God, they just need to come and renew some things with You. God, I just pray today would be the good day, Lord, they'd step out by faith, and Lord, what You have placed in their heart, Father, to do. Lord, again, we love You, we thank You, we praise You, and I pray that Your will would be done and be accomplished, Father, in our hearts and our lives. I pray, Holy Ghost of God, Father, You take charge now. God, You do what we cannot do for ourselves. And Lord, we're going to give You honor and we're going to give You praise and glory. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God for a few moments this morning. Again, I want us to consider from this text today, especially out of verse number 7, because there was no room for them in the inn. Again, I want each of us to consider, have we made room for the Savior or for this man by the name of Jesus? Now, again, it's very familiar, and you probably heard the thought many times before, but I believe each of us need to consider our own hearts and in our own lives today. Have we truly made room for the Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ today? The Bible states that there was no room here in the inn. Just as in the day He was born into this world, and even until today, there seems to be no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the question that each of us must consider is, have you and I made room for Him in our lives? Certainly today you would have thought that someone would have noticed, of course, Mary's condition and been willing to make room for her and for the baby to be born in. But again, I believe the circumstances in the Scriptures today unfold just exactly like they were supposed to unfold. Don't get me wrong. I mean, God already knew where He would be born, when He'd be born, and all those kind of situations. But I do find it interesting today that, of course, in the Word of God, we have this statement that there was no room in the inn. How sad it was that the Savior of the world was going to be birthed into the world. There He was born in a stable, in a place where the animals would come and where they would feed. And so that's where our Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one, thank God, that has power over the universe today, the one that owns it all, was born in the meekest of conditions. And so today, certainly as we again consider this wonderful season, have you and I truly made room for the Savior? And friend, if you've not made room for Him, it would be His desire and His will today for you to make room for Him. I mean, people running to and fro. If you've been to any of the shopping places, you've been to Walmart in the last few days, I'm telling you, it's crowded and it's pushing. You can't even hardly find a parking place and all those kind of things. And listen, I understand all that. But friend, again, I'm afraid so many times we lose the emphasis of what it's really all about. It's about Him coming to this low land of sin and sorrow and certainly living a sinless, perfect life and then going to a cross and laying down His life and shedding His blood that you and I could know Him today in a free pardon of sin so that we could receive the greatest gift that's ever been given unto mankind. And so again, the question lies before us today, before each and every one of us. See, it's a personal question this morning, and I realize it's a collective question as well. But friend, it's a personal question. Have you made room for the Savior? And so I want to give you just a couple of thoughts this morning as you pray for us. I pray the Holy Spirit of God will help each of us to consider in our own hearts and in our own lives if we've made room for the Savior. I want you to notice, first of all, that there was no room again in the inn. It gives us a picture, if you will, of the world, if you will, and think about it, not only in Jesus' time, but in our time, in this world that you and I live in. He's being rejected. He's being pushed aside. They want to talk about everything else but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But friend, we find now that there was no room in the inn. Let me say some things about the birth of Christ today. Of course, they rejected Him then, and they still reject Him now. They wanted nothing, if you will, to do with the Lord Jesus in so many ways. He came. Bible says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Speaking of the Jewish nation. And so how sad that is. The prophecy had been foretold. And many of the Jews, most of the Jews, knew about that prophecy. But yet, after the Lord Jesus is birthed into the world, and after He is, of course, become a man and starts His public ministry, so many reject Him. And friend, there's so many today that still reject the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how sad that is when the greatest gift that could ever be given to mankind was given in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and man still says no to this great gift, a gift that you cannot earn, a gift that cannot be purchased, a gift that you can't go out and find anywhere else in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful gift it is today to be saved
by the good grace of God. Can anybody here today rejoice in the fact that there was a day and a time in your life, thank God, that you received the gift of salvation. You were forgiven of your sin, and your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And thank God, you have a relationship with the Son of God today, and you have the hope of heaven when this life is through. How we ought to rejoice. How we ought to rejoice in the greatest gift that's ever been given unto you and I today, my friend. And if you don't have that gift, it's just as simple as this. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I believe. Aren't you glad today that it's that simple? I'm glad this morning. And again, these children are excited, and I understand all that. But it's so simple today that even a child can understand and be saved by the good grace of God. Oh, my friend, thank God for this gift of salvation that you and I have through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it can't be bought. It can't be purchased. It can't be worked out. It can't be figured out. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's free if you'll just ask and believe. And so today we find that there was no room in the end. I want you to think about his birth for just a few moments this morning. Number one, I thought about he was the greatest person to ever be born. Do we get a hold of that today? Out of all the births that's taken place since Adam and Eve were placed there in the garden and children begin to be born unto them, why, there's no telling how many births. I mean, I don't know if there'd be any possible way to figure out how many people have been birthed into this world since the Garden of Eden, or since Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden and children begin to be born unto them. There's no telling how many births. And listen, let me say this. There's something special about birth. Huh? Amen. There's something special about seeing a child birthed into this world. Man, that's a special time. And I'll tell you what, I thank God for these children. And how special all that is. But you think about birth after birth after birth that's taking place. Now, if it's been your children, then, man, that was special. If it was your grandchildren, that was special. If it was somebody in your family, that was special. But I'll tell you what, thank God on that first Christmas, hallelujah, there in Bethlehem, born to a Virgin Mary, and to Joseph there in Bethlehem, was a little baby. And they said to call his name, what? To call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Listen, there's never been a greater birth, a person birthed into this world than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it was God's gift unto the world. It was God's gift unto mankind. And thank God, we ought to celebrate that. We ought to thank God for that. Listen, we're never told in the Scriptures to celebrate His birth. We are certainly, as we done last week in our communion service, certainly to remember His death, His burial, and His resurrection. But friend, He could not have done that if He had not come and been birthed there in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Thank God this morning. Have you made room? Have you made room for the Savior today? He's the greatest person that's ever been birthed into this world. But so many people today still reject the very reason why we celebrate. They put up the lights. Nothing wrong with putting up lights. They put up the trees. Nothing wrong with putting up trees. They put out all the decorations. Nothing wrong with doing all that. They sing the wonderful Christmas songs. There's nothing wrong with that. They run to and fro and back and forth, going and buying this and buying that. And I'm going to say that I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. Let's start about September. Amen. Don't wait like I do till the last two or three days. Amen. We do all of that. But and we put on the Christmas plays and we give out the treatment. We do all the things that we do celebrating the birth of our Savior. But if we're not careful, we forget why we do what we do. We get so tied up in all that's going on around us that we don't take time to emphasize that the greatest person that was ever born into this world was a man by the name of Jesus. And you understand He was just as much God? Boy, that's hard. I don't know about you, but that's hard for me to grab a hold of this morning. He was just as much God, born there in that stable in Bethlehem, as He was when they nailed Him to the cross of Calvary. Why would He do all of that He done? Well, He done it for you, and He done it for me, and He done it for this entire world. Well, I don't know about you, but I can't hardly get a hold of that this morning to realize that somebody would love me that much. You think about somebody that would love you enough, that would allow their son to be birthed into a world, to go to a cross and lay down his life and pay a debt that he did not owe so that we could be redeemed by the grace of God. I'll tell you, that'll do something for us this morning. We ought to rejoice in that fact today, to know that there's a God in heaven today that loved you and I that much. It's the greatest person that's ever been birthed into this world, my friend. And there he was born in Bethlehem. In an inn. Now, there's, as you study about the birth of Christ and you study writings after different men, you'll find that certainly a lot of them will say that they don't believe it was, of course, December 25th. A lot of them will think it was, they'll say that it was in the spring. And listen, all that may be true. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure all that out. But to me, it doesn't really matter. What difference does it make? What day it was? It's kind of like being saved. Now, it's good to remember the day you got saved, you got born again. If you can remember that, that's wonderful. But friend, if you can't remember the exact day, it's okay. Just make sure there's a day that you know that you got born again. Listen, I don't remember the day I come into this world, but I can remember a day. Thank God when I got gloriously born again, got forgiven of my sin, got saved by the good grace of God. Friend, I'll tell you, hallelujah, for the great gift of salvation, He's the greatest person that's ever been birthed into this world, and we ought not to forget it, and we ought to make room for Him as we celebrate His birth. Whether it's in the spring, whether it's in the winter, they got their reasoning behind all that. Again, I'm not smart enough to figure that out. If God wanted us to know what exact day it was, He'd have left it for us in His Word. See, we get too caught up in the day. Amen. We get too caught up in the day instead of what it's really all about. And could I say, even as we celebrate His birth, if we're not careful, we get so caught up in all that's going on, we forget what it's about. Lord, I'm saying, Lord, help me today. Lord, help me to make sure that I make room for Jesus as I celebrate. Why? Because He's the greatest person that's ever been birthed into this world. Not only did I think about Him being the greatest person that's ever been birthed into this world, but secondly, I thought about He's the greatest present that's ever been given to this world. Are you hearing me? Not only was He the greatest person, but He was the greatest present that was ever given unto mankind. You can go all the way back to the garden. Of course, man, we know it's Adam and Eve there. We're putting a perfect condition. I mean, everything was wonderful and everything was great. And then sin come along. And because of that sin, you and I inherited that sin nature. We're sinners by nature and we're sinners by choice. You say, preacher, that's not anything new. That's exactly right. But there's still some folks today that haven't got a hold of that. We're sinners by nature and we're sinners by choice. And that sin separates you and I from a thrice holy God. And so God knew that. Even from the book of Genesis, He begins to give a prophecy about a seed that would come. And friend, that seed is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that was born in Bethlehem. He's the greatest present that's ever been given to this world. Think about all the sin that's been committed in this world. Think about all the crime and all the things that's been done. And God said, wait just a minute. I've got a remedy for that sin. Hallelujah. Thank God to the Lamb of God. There's a remedy. There's a remedy for that sin. And it's the blood of Calvary today. And Jesus was born there in Bethlehem as the great presence. present to mankind, that he would be that gift, and if mankind would receive that gift, that they could be gloriously born again by the grace of God, and their sins forgiven, and come into a right relationship with God Almighty, with the one that is holy. Thank God today, church. He's the greatest present that mankind could ever receive. But yet so many times, the gift of salvation is presented to mankind, and mankind says, no, I don't want that gift. Well, let me ask you a question. Somebody puts enough effort to go down here and fight this crowd at Walmart or wherever it might be. I think everybody goes to Walmart. Or to the mall. They've worked hard. Then they go find and fight the crowd, and they look for that perfect gift. Huh? They look for that perfect gift. They take it home, and with the greatest of care, and they wrap that gift. And then they bring that gift to you and say, Darrell, I bought this just for you. I want you to have it. Darrell says, I don't want your gift. You just take your gift and you go on your way. Well, now, if he don't want it, bring it to me. I'll take it. Hey, man. I mean, how crazy is that to think about? Somebody buys you a gift, and they wrap that gift, and they've worked for the money, they've paid for it, they've shopped for it, and they've brought it to you, and says, all I want you to do is take it. You don't have to do another thing but take it. That's all you do with a gift is you take it. No, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody say, no, I don't want that gift. You just take it back. Now, listen to me, friend. I'm afraid that's what's happened with the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation. God keeps presenting that gift time after time. He don't give up. I mean, if I buy somebody something, I take it to them and say, here's a gift. They say, I don't want it. I say, that's fine. I'll keep it myself. And most of you do the very same thing. But God's not like that. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Are you getting this morning, friend? Are you beginning to even think about that? I'm telling you what time. I remember God began to offer me that gift of salvation. And I said no. But God just kept coming back. Thank God, time after time after time. He didn't give up on me. He didn't quit. Why? Because he truly loved me. And he wanted to give me the greatest gift ever been given unto man. Mankind. That's the gift of salvation. And one glorious Sunday morning in September of 1987, under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God, I stepped out by faith and received that gift. Thank God that just keeps on giving. It doesn't wear out. It doesn't get old. I'm glad, thank God, for the gift of salvation this morning. That gift is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That gift is not church membership. That gift is not this morning, I'll try to do better. That gift this morning is a changed life. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. It's a changed life. I want to say about the birth of Christ. The Bible says there was no room there in the inn. Think about all the places it could have took Mary and Joseph in. Now, I realize it's a different time, and transportation was different, and housing was different, and all the things were different than what you and I can imagine. But here is a lady getting ready to give birth to a baby. Nobody had room. Nobody had room. Boy, I thought about that. That's just like our world. Nobody seems to have room. Lord, help us today to realize not only was he the greatest person that's ever been birthed into this world, but he's the greatest present that's ever been given to this world. But not only is he the greatest person and the greatest present, But he come with the greatest promise. Amen. He shall save his people from their sins. Not singular, plural. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The greatest person, the greatest present, come with the greatest promise. Irregardless of what present you may receive, there is no guarantee of eternity on that present. It will wear out. It will break. I mean, something's going to happen to it. I don't care what it is. It's not an eternal gift. But thanks be to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The gift that, thank God, Jesus gives you and I in salvation this morning, it is a gift that is eternal. Friend, I'm telling you, thank God, everything around us is just temporary. But thanks be to God, I'm glad there's some things that are eternal. But friend, those things are in the promises that God has made to those that will trust His darling Son as their Lord and their Savior. Those promises, thank God, are true. You can take them to the bank. You can count on them. You can anchor your soul in them. You can anchor your family in them. You can anchor this church in them. Why? Because they are the promises of God today. It is the gift that just keeps on giving. Salvation's just the starting point. Man, think about since you were saved. Think about the blessings that God's poured out on you. Since you got gloriously born again. I would say this today. If you're here lost, God's still been good to you. God still blessed you. But friend, if you really want to know the blessings of God, if you really want to know something about the gift of God, thank God this morning receive the greatest gift, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is a gift that just keeps on giving. I wonder today, is there anybody here this morning that's been blessed of God? Oh my. I'm talking about blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. Why is that? Because God, hallelujah, loves you and I. You say, preacher, God's not blessed me like He's blessed somebody else. Friend, He's blessed us all more than we deserve today. I'm telling you, thank God, not only was He the greatest person, not only was He the greatest gift that was given, not only is all that today true, the greatest present, the greatest person, but He brought with Him the greatest promise to all of mankind. And this is the promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We got any whosoever's in here today? Thank God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Period. There's not a question mark after that phrase. There's a period there. That means it's settled, my friend. Thank God, I'm glad that it is eternal promise that God has made to all those that will trust His darling Son today. It's the greatest person to ever be born. Greatest present to ever be given. It comes with the greatest promise that mankind could experience. I don't know about you today, but I'm glad I received that gift. Salvation can't be earned. It can't be purchased. The book of Ephesians tells us that it is the gift of God. Can't find it nowhere else. It can only be found in one person. And that person today is the Lord Jesus Christ. My question to each of us today, not my question, but the Holy Spirit's question, is have you made room for the Savior? Can you say with all your heart that God has presented you this gift?
And the best you knew how by faith is you took that gift and received what God had for you. Friend, if not, Jesus is presenting Himself to you again today as the gift that just keeps on giving. It's the gift that will get us to glory one day. Friend, you're not going without Jesus. You cannot enter into that place called heaven without coming through the blood of Calvary. Preacher, that sounds kind of rough. I thought it'd be easy. Well, it is easy to get saved, but Jesus done the hard part. He paid my sin debt, your sin debt, and the sin debt of the whole world. It's the greatest person that's ever been born. As you look at history, there's been some great people birthed into this world. Very knowledgeable, very smart, very talented. But friend, none no greater than Jesus. He's the greatest present that's ever been given. No matter what you might receive, little, big, indifferent, whatever, could not compare to the gift of salvation. And it comes with the greatest promise. I should say promise is. The promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Promise after promise after promise. Mankind sits back and says, God, I don't want your gift. When it comes time to die, you'll would to God that you would receive that gift. Preacher, I'm going to wait till I get ready to leave out. You may not have time. You may not have time. God's long-suffering. God's merciful. But God's not guaranteed you and I getting out of this building today. Somebody says, Preacher, He's not even promised us tomorrow. That's exactly right, but He's not promised us we can even get out of this building. But He has promised us eternal salvation. You realize today, irregardless of what might happen in our life, what we have to go through, what kind of sickness, what kind of sorrow, what kind of storm we may have to face, that nothing can take away that gift of salvation that God gave to this world through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the greatest gift that's ever been given. And it comes with the greatest promises that mankind could ever know. Isn't it sad today, in closing, I want you to think about it. Isn't it sad today that so many people will go through the motions of celebrating a holiday by the name of Christmas, and yet they've made no room for the Savior? Lord, help us to make room for the Savior. If you're not saved today, you need to be saved. Receive this greatest gift. And then even as God's children today, for those that are saved, let us make room. Let us make room. Not only one day a year, not only one season a year, but all the year through, let us make room for the Savior. As we stand to our feet all over the building, Brother Scotty, come get us a song of invitation, Father. Now, I've just tried to preach what You placed upon my heart for this hour. Lord, I thank You for the wonderful birth of our Savior and the counts that we have, Lord, in the precious Word of God. And Lord, I've just read just a small portion this morning of that miraculous event that took place in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. But Lord, I stand in amazement today as I stand on this platform, Lord, before this people. I stand amazed in my own heart and my own life of Your willingness to come to this low land of sin and sorrow and be the sacrifice for my sin. Lord, I cannot grasp that. Lord, I cannot even begin to try to understand all that, but I'm glad I don't have to. I'm glad by the eye of faith that, Lord, one day I received you into my heart and my life, that greatest gift that's ever been given. I pray today, Lord, if there's someone here, Lord, they've never received you as their personal Lord and Savior. It's a great number today. Got visitors today. Lord, I just thank you for all of it. But Lord, help each of us to search our own hearts. And let us look into our own heart and our own life. And allow the Holy Spirit of God to ask us the question, have I made room for the Savior? Lord, if there's someone here today, I pray. Again, Father, it's never trusted you as their Savior. I pray right now that the Holy Ghost of God would convict them and draw them. As you present that gift of salvation, you present your darling son as that gift. I pray today they would step out by faith and come and trust you. And then as Christians, and let us help us to search our hearts and help us not to get caught up in all the things going on around us. I realize it's an exciting time and a busy time, but Lord, help us to reflect and rejoice and make room for the Savior. I commit the invitation to your hands. You do what I cannot do. I pray you help us to be obedient. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed, as it begin to play before we see. Could I ask you a real personal question?